Well, to start, I want to ask a pretty simple question. Have you ever gone to the store, seen a child who is alone, lost, and freaking out? Have you ever been there and seen that? That they came with their parents, but they ran off, and they don't know where they're at. They don't know what they're doing, and they don't know what to do. Or maybe, has that ever been you? You were left at the gas station. I know that's none of you out there. And sometimes you see this child and you think, well, yeah, kid, if you had just obeyed your parents, stayed by their side, stayed with them, done what they told you to do, you wouldn't be in that mess. And we think those things. Well, this is what Colossians 1, 21 through 23 is talking about. My title tonight, Alienated No More. Alienated No More. Here's my main point. Believers, we as believers, must remember who we were, what God has done for us, and because of that, persevere in faith and obedience. We got to remember who we were. We got to remember that. And then remember what God did for us so that we will then persevere in faith and in obedience. So why do we as believers follow God faithfully and obediently? Which, by the way, is what we are doing tonight by coming together to observe the Lord's Supper. We are following Him faithfully and obediently. So great job. You've already passed test one tonight by being here and partaking in the Lord's Supper. But I want to point out three things from this text that show us this. We're going to see that we were alienated. First, we were alienated. Then, we were atoned. And finally, we were accepted. We were alienated, atoned. We were accepted. So, point number one. We were alienated because of our sin. We are alienated simply because of our sin. Look at verse 21 in your Bibles. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. There are three things in this verse that describe exactly who we were. In fact, it is who we were before we became believers in Christ. So tonight we're here to remember who we were before we heard the gospel, and remember what that was like. Who were we? What were we? Well, A, it says we were alienated. Now, what does that mean, alienated? Well, you can transform that word. It can be changed to the words maybe estranged. We were estranged, or we were cut off. Really, a good word for that is separated. We were separated, but the question has to be alienated, separated from what? Separated from who? Who were we separated from? Well, to understand this, right before this, Paul is telling them who Jesus Christ is. Who is he? Look at verse 15. Honestly, probably you don't even have to. We just sang this, right? We just sang this. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth. Yeah, we could sing it. Visible and invisible, seen or unseen, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. He says all things were created through him and for him. Look, it doesn't take a genius to realize we are part of that creation. That's us. We were created through Jesus and for Jesus. We were created through God. We were created for God. And the truth is, we don't live up to that. We don't ever live up to that. Our sin has alienated us. It has separated us. It has cut us off from Him. We are the child that went into the store with Dad, and Dad said, stay by my side, don't leave my side. And then we see something really nice and shiny and new on the other side of the store. And we take off running. And we get over there and we get so excited. And we start playing with everything. Or we see this and we start eating things. Now, you know what I was like as a child. And then we start tearing into things and we start breaking things and destroying things. And then we kind of realize, I don't really know where Dad is. You know, we don't ever see the mess. But we recognize I'm lost. I'm alone. Now, Dad knows exactly where we're at the whole time. He hasn't lost track of us. But we're alienated. We're separated. We're cut off. And we did it to ourselves. We did that. So we're alienated. But not only are we alienated, look at the next part of the verse. We weren't just alienated. We were hostile in mind. Now, this word hostile, you can actually translate to use the word hateful. Hateful. Look, I'm a fun-loving guy, okay? You know this. I like to have a good time. I like to be filled with joy. I like to be laughing. And quite honestly, I don't like to be around hateful people. I just don't. And the truth is, you don't either, do you? You don't like being around just absolutely hateful people. And if someone's hateful, you know, just we don't want really anything. But oftentimes, we are hateful to one another, aren't we? I mean, we're hateful to one another. We blame other people. We lash out at people. You know, you did this to me. It's all your fault that I'm in this situation. We think these thoughts. Why? Well, because we're selfish people. I mean, we're completely selfish people. We don't care about the other person. We don't care about their feelings, which actually, their needs. We just don't do this. We'll say dumb things to make us look better. We have to put this on us. Listen, we need to learn when we are being hostile to others around us, when we're being hateful to others around us. We need to not be so selfish that we're hateful to other people. That's who we were as believers, as unbelievers. That's who we were. And it's not just saying things. It's not just doing these things. What does it actually say? It doesn't just say hostile, does it? It says hostile in mind. Hostile in mind. Believers, this is who we used to be. This is who we were. It's not who we are. Maybe we need to do a little looking at ourselves. If this is who you are, you need to check yourself, because this is who we were. This is who you are. You need to check yourself, because if this is who we are, this is our mindset towards God, towards His laws, towards what He has said, that we are hostile in mind. We don't need to be so selfish. Every sin we have is quite honestly because we're people who are hostile in mind. We're hostile towards God and His commands. But again, that's who we were. Is that who you were or who you are? Something to think about. So not only did we alienate ourselves, not only did we become hostile in mind towards God, but then see, what's the next part of that verse? We were doing evil deeds. Now look, I'm not going to go into great examples of evil deeds. I don't think I need to do that. Honestly, when we talk about evil deeds, we start looking at these grand evil deeds and start looking at other people. But when we take a close look at who we are, if we look within ourselves, you'll see the evil deeds. I know I see the evil deeds in my life. We don't teach our babies and children how to be sinful, do we? I mean, it starts young. It starts as a child. You know, we don't teach them how to lash out. We actually have to teach our kids how to not hit people, right? We have to teach our kids how to not bite people. I mean, that's as hostile in mind as you can get. We have to teach them how to not say bad things. We have to teach them how to not lie. I mean, we don't teach them how to lie, do we? No one taught us how to lie. We just did it. Why? Evil deeds. It's who we were. It's who we were. We don't teach these things. We actually have to teach the opposite of that. Okay, so apparently when I was a kid, telling on myself now, I was in a store. I mean, I was little. And this really big guy walked into the store. And I just looked up and went, "Hey, hey, hey." And if you're old, you know exactly what that is, right? If you're young, just go to YouTube and look up Fat Albert. Because I didn't just go, "Hey, hey, hey, it's Fat Albert." And you know, I have such a soft voice, nobody heard it, right? No, everybody in the place heard it. And my parents had to have been highly embarrassed. We have to teach people how to not do that. I had to be taught that is not what you do. We are born with hostile minds and evil deeds. When we get older, truthfully, we just get more conniving at it, don't we? We learn how to do those things more discreetly. Or maybe we wait until we're not around and then we go to someone else. Doesn't make it any better. Doesn't make it any better. Remember, the Apostle Paul here is reminding these Colossian believers who they were, who we were. What can keep us from being alienated, hostile in mind, evil, or quite honestly, as the Bible calls us, dead? Have you ever had a bad relationship with someone? Maybe you were good friends, even really close, and something happened and that relationship was broken. Maybe they wronged you in some way, and now you're not even friends. We've all been there. Honestly, a lot of marriages end this way, and it's really sad. What has to happen to mend this relationship? You know, it's never mended unless the one who has been forgiven or the one who has been offended, it's never mended until the one who has been offended forgives the one who did the offending. Now, I know we might say, well, the one who broke the relationship has to ask forgiveness and needs to repent. Well, that's all true. But the relationship is not restored until the one wronged forgives. You won't ever see a relationship restored, no matter how much forgiveness is asked or no matter how much repairing is done, until the one who has been offended restores the relationship. This is us and God. This is us and God. We have offended God greatly by our evil deeds, by our hostile minds. We were alienated, hostile in mind. And the book of Romans says we were enemies of God. Well, how do we know that? Because of our evil deeds. That's how we know that. Never forget, this is who we were. It's who we were. If you're not a believer, if you've never repented of your sin, you've never called Jesus your Lord and followed him, you are an enemy of God. The Bible tells us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And I have already messed that up. I have already broken that. Well, what was done to redeem us? I couldn't do it myself. I've already blown it. I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. Someone perfect had to fix that relationship. And that someone was Jesus. Point one, We were alienated because of our sin. Thankfully, there's a point two. Jesus atoned for our sin. Jesus atoned for our sin. Look at verse 22. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Think about that child that ran away from his dad and played with things and broke things and destroyed things. And this child now has to pay for everything that happened. Name any one of your children who can fix that. Not one. They have no job, no money, no abilities to fix what was broken, to take care of all of those things. They can't do it. He has no idea even what to do. But thankfully, his dad has the ability. His dad knows how. And his dad makes things right. Pays for everything. Gets everything taken care of. That way, dad and son can walk back into this store. Can continue a good relationship with this store. The dad has to take care of that. Well, the truth is, because we have alienated ourselves from God, because we have been hostile in mind, we have done evil deeds, the relationship with God is dead. And there's no amount of good we can do to redeem that relationship. We can't do it. It's over. We have to be punished for our sin. Our world, quite honestly, right now, needs to learn that when you do the crime, you got to do the time. That's what we face. Our sin, we face the judgment. There will be punishment for our sin. We will face God's wrath for an eternity, and there's no escape of it in and of ourselves. We're not perfect as God demands. Honestly, we're not perfect as God deserves. It's not just that he demands it, he deserves it. So of ourselves, there's no hope. We deserve that death. But look at Jesus. Do you believe Jesus was sinless? I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what we teach and believe here. Romans 3:23, for the rest of us, all have sinned. Romans 6:23, our wage, what we deserve, what we get for that sin, death. Separation from God, facing his wrath for an eternity. That's what we deserve. Not Jesus. Jesus does not deserve that. He didn't deserve to die. Honestly, he didn't even deserve to have to live amongst us and our sin. But he did. You ever think about that? He gave up all of heaven to be born, to live a difficult life, a perfect life, though, but a difficult life. He gave that all up to face sin and say no, something none of us not only don't do, won't do. That's what we just won't say no to sin. And every time, Jesus says no. No. He didn't deserve the most gruesome, painful death. He didn't deserve to be beaten, put on a cross. He didn't deserve to be forsaken by his own disciples, to be mocked and ridiculed while he was in great agony. He didn't deserve to become sin for us when he knew no sin. He didn't deserve any of that. He certainly didn't deserve to face death, but he did. Why? To reconcile me. To reconcile us. To make that relationship whole. He did it to reconcile me, the lowliest of sinners who does not deserve it. He reconciled our sin to God. He atoned for our sin in his body and by his death. So, I mean, who were we? We were alienated. Jesus atoned for our sin. Why? Verse 22, point three, God accepted us despite our sin. He accepted us. Look at the end of verse 22. Why did he do this? In order to present you. Let's stop. Put your name in the you. In order to present Dave, who is the opposite of holy, who is full of blame. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. What a beautiful sentence, right? Oh, how beautiful. Why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Why are we here tonight? Why do we take the time to come back on a Sunday night to do this ritual that we have? Because despite our sin, despite being alienated, despite being hostile in mind and all of our evil deeds, Jesus atoned for our sin through his death so that God would accept us. That's what we're here to remember. If you're a believer, which means you've recognized the great sin in your life and you have repented of that sin, you've called on Jesus not just to forgive you of that sin. Romans 10:9 says you've called on him to be your Lord, Master. If that's you, you're reconciled to God. You have a tremendous relationship with God. You've been accepted. We do this to remind ourselves of who we were, what he did, and why we live our lives the way we should. How do we live our lives? Verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So tonight, if you have not repented of your sin, you recognize your sin and have not repented of it, and you've never called on Jesus as your Lord, would you do so? I want to encourage you. Come to us after this service. Don't even wait till then. Let us speak to you more about the salvation from the wrath of God, the wrath we deserve and we face. Let us speak to you more about Christ's reconciliation, God's acceptance. Would you come? And tonight, for the believers, as we take the Lord's Supper, may we remember who we were, what God has done for us. And because of that, may we persevere in faith and obedience. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who died a horrible death to pay a penalty that he didn't have, to pay my penalty for my sin, so that we would no longer be alienated, but we would be rescued, saved, in sweet relationship with our God. Thank you for that acceptance. I pray any here tonight that do not know of his salvation, God, that you would open up your spirit to him or her, move in their lives to call on you as Lord, to repent of their sins, become believers tonight. And for those of us who are believers, Lord, help us to remember this, not just tonight, but every day of our lives as we walk in faith and obedience to your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.